Take your Bibles, you may be seated. Romans chapter 1, and this is, I believe, either week 20 or week 21. This is the last in a series on the study of faith. Now, don't you worry, if you've never been here before, you'll not be lost. I'm going to catch everybody up, but there's one more truth that I want to teach on faith that I believe will help you. I want you to keep your Bibles out. We're going to use them. We're going to turn to several different places, so get your thumb greased up, you know, pick your neighbor's nose and get it juiced up or something or other here, and get it ready because you're going to use it just a little bit tonight. And Romans chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 13. Folks, I have an hour's worth of preaching to do, and I've got about 35, 40 minutes, so hang on. Here we go. You're all right? Now, verse 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now look at me. Keep your Bible open. Here we go. Four times in the Bible, God uses this term, the just shall live by faith. There's only four times it's used in Scripture. But I want you to understand it's there for a reason. I say this often, these are God's words, those aren't man's words. Those words were written before the foundation of the world. Paul did not write the book of Romans, God wrote it. Paul was the secretary that took it down word for word. He actually took it down word by word as God spoke it. It wasn't spoken through the mind of Paul, and he processed it and put it on paper and said, okay, here's the word of God. No, God said, Paul, put it down. I already wrote it before you were. Here it is. And you better not change it. And that's how we got the word of God. Now, I have 20 weeks I got to review. Give me about 7 minutes, and I'm going to do it. So we're going to speed teach, all right? You say, what's speed teaching? You listen fast, I'll talk faster. All right, here we go. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith is not what most people think it is. Most people think faith means believing. My Bible says, by faith, believing. That would be an oxymoron. You wouldn't use the same word twice in a row like that. Faith is not this, don't get mad at me, it's not a spiritual form of power of positive thinking. Ooh, I think I can, I think I can, I think it will, I think it will. Oh, God, you said it will, so here we go. And when it doesn't happen, you say, well, God, I'm mad at you, see you later. Faith is not this ethereal power of positive thinking. It's not this form of belief. I have defined faith this way. It is seeing a need that you cannot fill on your own and doing what you can, letting God do the rest. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Notice it says it's a substance. Belief is not a substance. Faith is a substance. You do all you can do with the need you have and say, okay, God, you take care of the rest. That is what faith is all about. Now, hang on for a second. Faith is not this blind, I think I can. Faith is not rubbing the bottle and letting the genie pop out, which is supposed to be God, and say, okay, God, this is what I want, so you have to do this. God doesn't owe you anything. God does not owe you anything. Now, there is something in the Bible called the faith. I took several weeks and taught on what the faith is. If you look in Scripture, there are six things or seven things that make up the faith, and I'm just running through this. The faith is what it takes to get someone saved. There are six or seven things that it takes to get someone saved. I mentioned the message, the book, the institution, the method, the plan, the power, etc., etc. Those are the things that make up the faith. When you start messing with the Word of God, you're messing with the faith. When you start messing with the plan of salvation, you're messing with the faith. You start messing with the Holy Spirit, you're messing with the faith. And God says we're supposed to fight for that. I don't fight over personality. I don't fight over separation issues. I don't fight over even ecclesiastical things. I will fight for the faith. When the Pope gets up and says, there's no such thing as knowing for sure you're going to heaven, you just let me bless you and you'll get there eventually, and your folks can pray through Mary, and you can pray through Saint this guy and Saint that dude, and Mother Mary, Mother of God. By the way, they're the one that believes she was virgin born. They believe she did not die. It wasn't the virgin born son, it was the virgin born Mary. Just so you know, I have problems with that. They're messing with the faith. I'm not mad at Catholics. I'm just mad at the bad doctrine. I'm mad at Baptists that don't preach right doctrine. I know Baptists that teach you got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Or you got to do some form of, and I'll use a biblical term that they misuse, repent. In other words, they say you have to be sorry enough from your sin that you never sin that way again. Can I tell you something? That's a lie out of hell. That's work salvation. Repentance is this: you go from trusting yourself to get to heaven to trusting Jesus Christ to getting to heaven. The act of going from trusting yourself to trusting Jesus, the word repent means to turn around. You go from turning from trusting self, trusting your own way to get you there, to trusting what Jesus Christ did to get you there. That is repentance. That there is no salvation without repentance, because you can't get to heaven by without trusting him. And the reason you're on your way to hell is because you're trusting yourself, not him. Everybody got that? Here we go. Now, we're about halfway there. God gives every man the faith necessary for salvation. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, the Bible says, God hath given to every man the measure of faith. That means God put into every human being the amount of faith and the faith necessary to get saved. Now watch this. Here we go. According to Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My folks, you've heard this. Mrs. Hartline, I've even quoted you on this. Thank God for my English teacher teaching me what a pronoun was. Pronoun is a word that takes the place of or renames another noun. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. And that what? And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's why Romans 12:3 is in the Bible. For God hath given to every man the measure of faith. If God gives you something, what is that considered? A gift. Wow. The Bible's so hard to understand, isn't it? No, it's so simple. So, God even gave us the faith necessary to get saved. According to Galatians 2, Galatians 3, Galatians all through the scripture, we're not even saved by our faith. Bible says, for we are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. He completed our faith and gave us our faith so that we can get saved. Last night when I talked to Fred, he said, I'm just not sure I believe enough. I said, do you believe what Jesus did for you? Yep. I said, are you willing to obey him? Yep. We bowed our head. He prayed. He trusted Christ. I said, according to that book, not according to a preacher. I said, but according to that book, where would you go if he died? He said, according to that book, I'd go to heaven. According to what's up here, I don't know. I said, don't care what's up there. What's in here is more important. I said, did you do what the book said? He said, sure did. I said, then what are you worried about? God's going to keep his word, are you? I said, by the way, it doesn't matter if you do. You did what he said, so it doesn't matter. I said, you buy a plane ticket and get on the plane and it takes off. Guess what? You're going to get to your destination. You might not like it as much when you get there, but you're going to get there. I said, your ticket just was paid for and handed to you. You got on the plane. That's what it's all about. I said, it's just like when you were born. Your mom and dad may not have wanted you hatched, but they hatched you anyway, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, listen to me very carefully. this is why, and listen to this statement, and every time I say this, I watch a couple people bristle, and I'm waiting for them not to bristle. There is no such thing as law and grace. The Old Testament is not law and the New Testament grace. In the eternality of God, before man was created, Jesus authored the plan of salvation. He said, I will do it, and God accepted that as paid in full in advance. Because Jesus' word was as good as done, and he is the word of God. And he is God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Watch this. Here's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. If that pulpit is Calvary, people in the Old Testament looked ahead at what Jesus would do for salvation. In the New Testament, we look back at what Jesus did do. You say, how do you know? Go to Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. Every one of them were justified by faith. Well, what were the Old Testament sacrifices? Same thing we did a couple weeks ago. It's called Lord's Supper. Broken body, shed blood. Jesus had not yet done it. So in the Old Testament, they showed what he would do. Now we showed what he did do. The Old Testament sacrifices are the same thing as the New Testament Lord's Supper. That's why it was all nailed to the cross. That's why all the Sabbaths and holy days and things were nailed to the cross. By the way, that's why the priestly religions, they take the tribe of Levi and they take the Levitical priesthood and they've corrupted it. Hebrews talks about Jesus wasn't from Levi. He was from Judah. He said our ever-living high priest did not come out of Levi because God knew there would be people that would worship the priesthood. And he said, the great high priest came out of the tribe of Judah. That's Jesus. Everybody doing all right? Here we go. Now, I'm close. At salvation, when a person trusts Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us. I've said this, don't get mad. I can back this, and I'm not mad at people. I've said it. When you get saved, Jesus doesn't come into your heart. The Holy Spirit does. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. The part of God that comes into you is the Holy Spirit. Now, that is called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, watch this. Before you get saved, you're a body and soul, and your spirit is dead. When you get saved, your spirit is reborn. So then you become body, soul, and spirit. And it is our spirit that communicates with the Holy Spirit that we have access to the Father. Now watch this. When you get saved, you get, the Bible uses a term, regenerated. Modern terminology, you get regeneticized. Regenetics. You get the eternal genetics of God. Watch this. Your genetics are passed through the blood. I'm about to have a spell. When you get saved, you got saved by the blood. And you got the genetics of God the Father by the blood through the Holy Spirit. And your spirit is eternal because of that regeneration, the regeneticizing of your spirit. That's what being born again is all about. All right? And we don't have time to go there, but John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Two different spirits. One's capital, one small. That which is born of the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. Now, faith. All of this is activated by faith. It's activated by the faith God puts into us that we use for salvation. By the way, faith always works in accordance with that book. God does not work outside that book. Period. Say, well, I believe God wants me to sell everything and move to China and live like a monk. It's not in Scripture. Not there. I knew of a lady. She came to see me. I told her, "Lady, don't take this the wrong way, but you're stupid. Go see Brother Hiles." She came to see me. She was married, had 3, 4, 5 kids. I don't even remember how many children she had. She said, "Well, when I was a young person, I made a commitment. I was going to the mission field. Need you to pray for me. I'm about to go to the mission field." I said, hold it. What'd your husband say about this?" "Well, he doesn't want to go, so I'm going without him." I said, "What about your children?" "Oh, they're staying with him." I said, "Ma'am, you're stupid. You need to go see your preacher right now." And by the way, that's unscriptural. "Well, I made a commitment." Yeah, you made an unwise commitment, but you made another commitment after that that supersedes it. I hate to disappoint you. And you're supposed to follow your husband. You shouldn't have married him if he wasn't going to the mission field, if that's what you really believed. Why did it take another 15 years before you obeyed it? She didn't like that. Say, "What'd Brother Hiles tell her?" "The same thing, just not as nice." Now, wait a minute. Faith is not believing or hope. The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. So, 4 times, and I have about 20 minutes now. You ready? 4 times in the Bible, God says, "The just shall live by faith." Now, this is not a statement to lost people. This is not a statement of getting people to heaven necessarily. The Bible says the just, those who are justified, those who are saved. Justified, that means straightened up, lined up. In computer language, it means everything is set on a margin where it's in a perfect line. That's why the law is our schoolmaster, to show us where we're out of line. We have transgressed. We've gone across the line. We're not in line. And when you justify a document, you line it up to where it's all in line. When you get saved, everything's all in line with God and you're on your way to heaven. So God says the just, or those who are saved, shall live by faith. This isn't talking to the lost person. It's talking to the Christian. So let me give you 4 things tonight and we'll be done. Number one, living by faith means following God's will, not your own will. Living by faith means following God's will, not your own. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Habakkuk. That's in the Old Testament. Go to the book of Malachi and turn back a few pages. Amen. It's about 20 pages from Matthew. Okay. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. For those of you that talk like the rest of the West Virginians, that's Habakkuk, okay? Habakkuk, chapter 2, look at verse number 4. "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The just shall live by his faith. Now, I won't take time because we don't have time, but if you read the first 3 verses there, it's talking about somebody struggling over what they want over what God wants. Their will versus God's will. And God said, "The just shall live by his faith." In our faith in doing God's will. Now, everybody listen to me. You young people especially listen to me. This thing of the will of God is spooky. I hate to tell you, why would a God that wants you to go to heaven hide his will from you? Why would God, look at me, why would God want to hide his will if he wanted you to do it? God's not the Easter bunny. God doesn't want to hide his will. He wants everybody to do the will he has for their life. Why would he make it hard? I'm not the smartest person in the world. No comments. I'm not necessarily the sharpest knife in the drawer. You say, why? Because I'd cut myself with it. I may not be, but I do know this. The will of God is not hard to find. Never has been. I know people, they worry about so much. 98% of the will of God, right there. Good night. If I got a 98 on every test I ever took, and I didn't. But if I did, I'd be a pretty good student. I know people who look for 2%, and that's, they're in the right place, but they're not doing the right thing. That, I'd rather have a 98% than a 2%, wouldn't you? I'd much rather know the 98%. Did you know you can't take the gospel to the wrong person? Did you know you can't preach the gospel to the wrong person? Did you know you can't help the wrong person? Well, what if I was supposed to be in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and you're in Martinsburg, West Virginia? I think God would forgive you and people could still get saved. And if you're to be in Kalamazoo, Michigan, there is such a place, by the way, if you're supposed to be there, God will make it very clear to you. He's not going to hide it from you, just so you know. All right, here we go. The works and the law never saved you, nor do they keep you saved. Works are for the saved, for God to bless you. God commanded us to tithe. Say why? For your sake and for the work of God's sake. But God will give you back far more than you could ever tithe, promise you. Did you know the will of God is tithing? Did you know the will of God is winning people to Christ? Do you know it's your responsibility to tell others about him? Listen to this statement. Listen to me very carefully. You are not accountable for how they receive it. You are accountable for giving it. You can go soul winning for 20 years and never have anybody saved and still be obedient to God. Now, I believe if you go soul winning for 20 years, you're going to see people saved. Trust me. But I will say this. I'm not accountable for how they receive it. My job is to give it. It's God's job to bring the increase, not my job. Everybody doing all right? You know, you're supposed to be faithful at his church. That's part of God's will. You know, you're supposed to read and know that book. That's part of God's will. Well, how do you know that? It's in the Bible. Where'd you see that? So I show them. Oh, I didn't know that was there before. Yeah, you're not in it. We are to do our part as much as we can and trust him to do the rest. I'm going to make a statement here. We're not supposed to look after our desires. We're supposed to obey him. When I go door-to-door soul winning, Brother Neil, I've been soul winning for about 35 years of my life. First time I knock on a door, man, I hope they're not home. And I've won thousands of people to Christ. But I've had hundreds of thousands of cussings out. I don't like that feeling. My flesh says, you don't really want to do that, do you? But I'm here. So I'm going to knock on it. Man, I hope they're not home. I'll be honest with you. I did not plan on going seeing her husband last night. I was going somewhere else. I got detoured. I got backlogged. I thought, there's no way I'm going to make it. And I stopped and said, Lord, and he put Fred on my mind. I said, mm-mm. You know what it was last time when I talked to him? He probably going to kick me out of his house. And the Lord says, that's my job, not yours. God was preaching at me. You think it's bad if I'm preaching? You ought to have God preaching at you. It's not fun. All right. Probably not going to be home anyway. I pulled in the driveway and the front door hanging wide open. I thought, stink. I'm just telling you the truth. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to walk out a failure. But as long as I gave him the gospel, I wasn't. Guess what? God reaped last night, but he didn't the first time or second time I talked to him. But he did last night. Now, if I did what my flesh wanted, I'd have been home sitting in a chair next to my wife with my arm around her, hugging and smooching while my daughter was at work. Amen. Now, that's what I wanted to do. That's not what God wanted done. Everybody doing all right? Okay, I'm just being honest with you. So, living by faith means God never works. Well, when we do what we want over what God wants, we're not living by faith. We are to do what God wants, whether we want to do it or not. By the way, he's not going to ask you to do anything outside the principles of that book right there. Hold on, this is not common in Baptist churches, but here we go. I think it's wrong for you to say, well, I want to give my rent this month to missions, and I'm going to live by faith to provide the rest. You're robbing your mortgage holder or your landlord, and you're making your mortgage holder and your landlord live by faith. You're not living by faith. You pay your bills and pray down the rest of the money. Everybody doing all right? Now, I believe that. You made the debt. God gave you the wherewithal to pay it. You pay your debt, and anything above that is supposed to be your offering. Don't make your car company live by faith. You live by faith. I know that's not popular, but that's how we live around here. Amen. I don't believe, as long as I have some sanity in my head, I never plan on, and I've been a part of places that did this. Give it all Sunday. And I'm not saying it's wrong scripturally, but I have a hard time. Some of you live paycheck to paycheck, and you give all of your paycheck 1 week, and then you expect God to pay everything else. Quit holding God hostage. Sorry, I don't believe that way. I believe if we'll all do faithfully as we should, we don't have to live that way. I just believe that. All right, here we go. Living by faith, number two. Living by faith means not being ashamed of sharing the gospel. We were in Romans chapter 1 when we started. Here we go, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Do you know what the verse is right before that? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. God is talking about not ever being ashamed. And when you're living by faith, you're never ashamed to give the gospel. Listen to this statement. It does not say you'll never be afraid. It says you'll not be ashamed. Do you know what? I have no problem letting folks know I'm a Christian. None whatsoever. Not a bit. I walked into Sheets early Sunday morning. It was about 5 after 5 Sunday morning to get coffee. You say, why? Every man of God needs coffee at that hour of the morning. Amen. I walked in to get coffee. And as I was walking in, I held the door for a fella coming out. And he said, man, did you just get off of somewhere? Or are you going somewhere? I said, sir, I'm a Baptist preacher and I'm going to the office already. I cannot wait for church to start this morning. He said, oh. On he went real fast. Say, did that bother you? No, it bothered him, not me. I'm not ashamed of it. Now, I'm not always as bold with it as I want to be, but I'm not ashamed of it. I was on a flight one time, and there must have been about 30 Catholic priests on that flight. It was hilarious. Brother Mark, I was sitting in the middle of about half of them. And I delivered a pizza one time to a bar, and I preached in 2 other bars. That's the only 3 times I've ever been in a bar in my life. I saw less booze in a bar than I did with those Catholic priests, man. It was going. And the stewardess came by, and I had my Bible out. And she said, sir, would you like? And I said, no, ma'am, I'm a Christian. There was about 60 eyes that went this way. And I had one on either side. I looked at one of them partway through the flight. I said, hey, could you tell somebody how they can know for sure they're going to heaven? He said, oh, you're one of those kind of Christians, huh? I said, yes, sir. How about you? He said, well, I believe what the church says. I said, I don't care what your church says. You tell me what God says. Amen. Boy, did it get real quiet. I mean, it was like I had leprosy. It was great. So we should never be ashamed of salvation. We should never cower at anybody. By the way, here comes my shy, timid little way. I'm a little tired of the Muslims. I'm a little tired of the Catholics. And I'm a little tired of the atheists, the agnostics, and the humanists making Christians feel bad that we're Christians. I'm not feeling bad. I feel sorry for them. I really do. I was not happy that Saddam Hussein was killed, because he probably is burning in hell right now. Now, I'm not against them doing what they did, but I hate to tell you something, I'm not ashamed. Folks, it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before the state tells me what to do with the church. Sorry. They have the right to make sure these buildings are safe with fire codes. Yes, they do. They have the right to make sure we're running our finances correctly according to the IRS. Yes, they do. And by the way, we do. And I believe in it. I believe in paying the payroll taxes, just so you know. I don't like it any more than anybody else does, but we do. We pay it on time, and we're right with it. But may I say this, they're not going to tell me that a church can't preach against sodomy because sodomy is sin. They're not going to tell me that we're, and I don't care if you use marijuana for medical purposes, it's still wrong. I don't care what society says. Shacking up, still sin. You're going to get in trouble preaching like that. Well, there's been preachers throughout history been in trouble. We'll stay in trouble. It doesn't bother me. Say, aren't you afraid? Nope. Not whatsoever. You'll notice I use a certain word with a certain preference of people, and I use the word sodomy for a reason. It's bigger than you think it is, and it's the only one defendable in court, just so you know. It's the only one in that book that I can prove, so I use it. And it encompasses an awful lot more than what people think. So we're not supposed to be afraid of the gospel. Success in soul winning is not you winning someone to Christ. The success in soul winning is you giving the gospel. It's God that gives the increase, not you. Too many Christians want to go 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Ha, I got another one. Chink. Too bad. I tell people this all the time. If you're going to go soul winning, you deal with somebody else like you would if it was your own child. If your child was between heaven and hell and it depended on what you told them, by the way, that's the way you go soul winning. Everybody doing all right? Okay, here we go. We should never be ashamed nor let fear cause us to cower. I'm going to make a statement. The problem today is not the loudness of the bad, it's the quietness of the good. The problem today isn't how loud the sodomites are and the atheists are and the humanists are and the green people are, and that's not Martians. It's not all that stuff. It's how quiet the Christians have become. Well, they might say something. Well, stand up and say it. Boy, that's good. Number three, I got to hurry. Living by faith means works have nothing to do with salvation, but our works have everything to do with our relationship after we're saved. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Again, I'll say this. The works of the law never saved, nor will save anybody. The works of the law were there to show us our need of salvation. Say, are you against the Ten Commandments? No, but Moses got a whole lot more than the Ten Commandments, and they weren't Moses' law, it was God's law. You read the book of Exodus, you find out that God gave Moses the blueprints for the tabernacle and the Levitical priesthood. And matter of fact, it says that God wrote with his own finger in the tables of stone. It doesn't take 40 days to give you 10 statements. God was drawing the blueprints to exact detail of what he wanted, because there's a tabernacle in heaven, according to the book of Hebrews, and he wanted the one on earth to be as close as to the one in heaven, so that when he left heaven and dwelt with the Shekinah glory of God in the tabernacle in the wilderness with the Jews, that it would be the same type of place. Everybody doing all right? Okay, here we go. So living by faith means works has nothing to do with salvation. By the way, I don't care if they call it repentance. I don't care if they call it, well, we'll know whether you really got it or not and how much you meant it by your works. Can't judge if you're saved, but I could be a fruit inspector. You're an idiot. Who are you to judge somebody's motive? How much sorrow do you have to have? Who are you to judge somebody's motive? Do you know the only time motive is an issue is when you murder somebody, and whether you did it premeditated or by accident? And you're not God. Who are you to judge somebody's motive? I'm not going to judge Fred's motive. Can I tell you what the motive of getting saved is? To keep your carcass out of hell and so that you can go to heaven. Well, I don't think that's a good motive. Well, I don't care what motive it is. According to Jude, says, and if some have compassion making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. When I pointed at his carcass in the hospital a couple weeks ago and said, Fred, I've watched people die in a hospital bed just like this, in this hospital, as they're dying, saying, oh my God, I'm on fire, I'm in hell, oh my God, and watch them die. And I watched Fred go like this. Yeah, that's saving them by fear. I don't do that to every person I talk to. But may I say this, he needed that. There's other times I've wept with people to get saved. Say why? Because that's what it took for them to get saved. And they needed that love, that compassion. By the way, the same love and same compassion showed them the fear of God. Well, I think you ought to go to church for the right reason. Can I tell you what the right reason is? Obedience. Who are you to judge somebody's motive? Boy, I'm having fun right now. Here we go. I got to finish. Number four. Living by faith means you do not give up when things don't work out your way. Living by faith means you do not give up when things do not work out your way. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 very quickly. I have about 3 or 4 minutes and I'll be done. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 38. Let me back up just a couple verses. Verse 35. Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now look at me. Just because you want something to work out some way and it didn't, doesn't mean you give up in faith. Verse 35 talks about confidence. Did you know, according to Romans chapter 12, that the will of God changes in a progressive motion? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It doesn't say or. Prove that good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. That means it's in a progression. I've said this all along. Be careful as a young person. Boys and girls, listen to me. I love you. I want you to surrender to do whatever God wants you to do for your life. How old are you, Connor? 10? 10 years old. A gnat's got more sense in his head than Connor does. There's no way at 10 years old he can tell you what he's going to do 30 years from now. He's hoping just to survive 30 years. Amen? For you to put a ceiling on God and say, well, preacher, I believe God wants me to go pastor church. Well, what if God wants you to go be a missionary? You've just put a limit on God. I think you ought to surrender to do whatever God wants you to do. 30 years ago, I didn't know I'd be pastoring. So am I out of God's will? No. For about 22, 23 years of my life, God wanted me to be an assistant pastor. I didn't change it. God did. And the situation wasn't changed maybe the way I wanted it to change. But may I say it? It's God's will now. I have no problem with it. Watch this. The obedience of faith is more important than our perception what the result of faith will be. Let me say that again. The obedience of our faith is more important than what our perception of what the results may be. Too many people are result-based, not obedience-based. Well, I went soul winning and I didn't see anybody saved, so God still told you to go. I'm also not of the persuasion you go till somebody gets saved, because you'll end up doing something with somebody to get them saved so you can go home. And who are you to say somebody's going to get saved? That's God's doing. I've knocked on many a door thinking, oh, this is going to work out great. Started with the gospel and wham, the door goes shut. Thought, wow, that didn't work out like I thought. Well, I'll just talk to this person just long enough and then I'm gonna step away because I think they're too hard. Do you know how many people I've won to Christ just like that? Who are you to judge what that is? You go and do what you can. Let God do the rest. If you'd have told me 24 hours ago, 24 hours and 30 minutes ago, that Fred was going to get saved, I would have probably said, I don't think it'll be tonight. Guess what? It was. Wasn't my doings. That was God's. I just did what he said. God sometimes uses the changes to give us a new part of his will, since others did not let him have his will. Did you hear that? You know, the will of God has changed in my life because some would not let God have his will, so he had to make another perfect will of God. It's called Grace Baptist Church. I'm not angry. That's a fact of life. There are things that have happened in your life you don't like, and it's not because it wasn't God's will. It's because somebody did not let God have his will. And now he's had to rework the events so it can be God's will now for your life. Everybody look at me. I love you. I'm against divorce. I don't think you ought to get divorced. But many people have been, and you've been remarried. May I say this? The one you're married to, stay married to him. Don't divorce him. It's the will of God now for your life. Amen? There's only two things you can't do. You can't be a deacon, you can't pastor a church if you're divorced. Past that, you can do anything else in the church according to Scripture. You're welcome here. Those are the only two things you're disqualified from. But, well, may I say this? Make the marriage you're in right now last as the will of God for your life. And somebody come to me one day, preacher, I've been married 3 times, and Then I got saved and found out divorce is wrong, so I need to divorce this wife and go back and marry my first wife again. But she's got to get divorced first. I said, whoa, stop. You know, time out. In the old pinball days, tilt, okay, everything stop. It's bad. I said, hold it. No, the will of God is where you're at right now. Hang in there, go on. Ooh, man, that was an ugly one. I'm not talking about her either. But it was bad. You know, so many times we think we got to go all the way back to square one and start over. Folks, I didn't get straight A's in school. I'm not going back and trying it again. I suffered. I mean, I put my time in. I went through college. I wasn't a horrible student, but I wasn't a straight A student. I didn't get straight A's ever. I had a solid B average, high school and college. I worked through 2 years of high school and all 4 years of college. I sacrificed a little bit of grades so that I could help put myself through. Okay, but I did learn how to study. I did learn how to work. I did learn what I was supposed to learn. Should I have learned more? We all should. I know people that had straight A's that haven't done much. People that got straight A's that haven't done nothing for God. Not good English, but it's good preaching. But they really haven't. Hang on. Listen to me, and I'm done. The saved are to live by faith. It's not this, oh, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to rub the bottle, and the genie's going to pop out, and I'm going to say, God, this is what I want, so you give it to me. That's what the average person thinks living by faith is. Or, Well, bless God, I'm going to show God how much I care. I'm going to give all of my paycheck, and I'm not going to pay my bills, and God's going to provide the money. And God's saying, you're stupid. Not conventional preaching, but it's Bible. It's Bible. God places an amount on your heart, great. You pay your bills and pray in the rest. You be honest with your debts. Everybody doing all right? That means you should have paid your taxes before April 15th, so Leslie didn't have to stay up all night. I believe in paying your taxes. God said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. You pay your taxes and you pay your tithe and let God take care of the rest. Amen? There's not much left after that. Wow. When you get saved, the faith God gave you, by the way, by inspiration, like the inspiration of God. See, faith and the word of God work together like inspiration. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Does he breathe breath into every human being that's born? No. That inspiration is ongoing. It's life-giving continually. Just like, and that word inspire is where you get the root word for faith. He breathed into man the faith and the breath of life. Man became a living soul or a living spirit. Hello. When he died, when man sinned, his spirit died, and he needed God to regenerate him, and he gave us the plan of salvation for it. May I say this? He did not give the plan of salvation to the devil. The devil had sinned before man was created. Listen to this statement. The devil has no chance to get saved. Man does. Man does. God loved man so much, he gave us a plan of salvation. But when we reject it, we face the same penalty of sin as Lucifer. Say why? Because that's justice. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Man sends himself there. Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. It was never intended for man. Say why? Because God made salvation available to man. So all we have to do is receive it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I want to take longer. I won't. The faith. Living by faith. It's not this power of positive thinking. I watch so many Christians get mumbled, jumbled out of whack. They think that because God didn't answer it the way they wanted, that God's not real and God's not listening to them. Sometimes we just have to do our part and let God do the rest. And if it doesn't get done, that's up to him, not us. I wonder who would say, preacher, if I die tonight, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I won't call you by name, but would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Just you may put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I won't call you out. I won't come to you. But you'd say, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? Come on, all right? If you don't, in a moment, we can take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Who'd say, preacher, there's something about living by faith. The Lord was talking to me tonight. One or more of those things in there was for me tonight. Would you raise your hand? God was, there you go, scores and scores and scores of hands. In a moment, the piano will play. When the piano begins to start, we'll stand to our feet. If you raised your hand, why don't you come to this altar and use this altar? Maybe you just need to spend a little time with your God. Maybe you just need to get that confidence back in your faith.